Welcome to Blind Like Me, another exciting edition. My name's Phil Parr. You probably already knew that, but we're telling you that anyway. We're coming into your to wherever you happen to be, and we're glad you invited us. It's good to be with you. We're trying, well, several kind of new things today. First of all, we're doing this live. Usually we do the interview, and then we go back and put the show together, and today we can't do that because we're on deadline. I love it. Don has to have the shows this afternoon, and so, by golly, we're going to give it to him. So we're doing this live, and we're also going to use the thing that's probably not new to a lot of you, because a lot of you are a whole lot more technically savvy than I am. I'm kind of a sort of a Neanderthal. I'm happy that I've learned what I've learned, but I'm slow. Computers just frustrate me to death. If I kept a small ball peen hammer by my computer, I would have by now beaten it to pieces because they frustrate the hell out of me. I just get so frustrated by computers, but I've learned a few things. And one of the things that these folks have been trying to teach me, by the way, over the weekend we had Tim Cummings. I have a friend named Tim Johnson. Tim Cummings, John Conley, and Max Robinson down over the weekend, and they were trying to educate me in the use of the telephone protocol they call Skype. And I think we have it working, and luckily, if I pull up channels 1 and 2, we should hear Max Robinson, sir.
Yeah, I'm here.
I didn't fade the theme, did I?
No. Did you fade it on the on-air channel?
I did fade it on air channel.
Okay, you didn't fade it to me.
And
I was gonna mention it as you brought me on.
It is now faded.
Discovered it. Yes, now I can hear you. Okay. And so
let me stop this. Push the pause button. How are you, sir?
I am just fine.
Well,
excuse me.
You got that throat loss. You're coming down with something.
Yeah, well, I think I talked too much over the weekend. As soon as I met my friend in Nashville, he said, "You sound like you've been talking a lot over the weekend."
Do you think you contracted this in Texas?
No, I don't think it's any viral infection or anything. I think it was just wear and tear.
Just too much talking.
Yeah, too much talking.
Too much talk. Well, we did talk a little over the weekend.
We talked quite a lot.
Well, none of us slept much, you know. And
we did some good lying and bragging.
I guess we did all kind of. We got Skype going. We put up a screen door. We What else did we do? Nothing.
well, that was about it. We got Skype going and put up a screen door.
We would have eaten some brownies if we'd had any.
Yeah, you know, if they'd gotten there in time. That's nobody's fault, basically.
No, it really
isn't.
Except
maybe for the post office.
Max's wife, Sue, had sent a package containing brownies and some CDs and a little piece of equipment that Max built for me. And it didn't get there until Monday. I think there are probably people who think maybe it got there Friday, and I kept it for myself. You know, but that didn't happen. I would have shared those. There's way too many for me to eat. I'm going to have to give some away, as Luanna's not here to help me. So, anyway, you're in Kentucky, and I'm in Lufkin.
That's right, and it's like one of those NPR interviews where sometimes they'll reveal that I'm in Washington and she's in New York and we can't see each other, but they always sound like they're just right in the studio, you know.
As far as quality, you would never know. It sounds like, of course, you are on a microphone.
Yes,
but you're
not on the telephone.
But you're not on the telephone. You're on the internet.
Uh huh. Right.
Being fed to me by this new thing called Skype.
Right.
Which is free, but it's very inexpensive long distance for anyone who makes long distance calls. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's free computer to computer, but it's if you go computer to phone, then there's a charge, but it's, what, $30 a year? I mean, gosh.
Yeah.
You pay that much every month for a lot of phones, most phone services.
I pay more than that most months for my phone service. And So it's $30 a year, and that's call anywhere in the United States to any phone.
Or Canada.
Any landline phone or anyone who has Skype on their computer. Now, we're just using it computer to computer, so the quality would be better since you're on a mic and so am I.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it sounds like you're just, you know, on the other side of the wall with a audio line connecting us, you know.
It does to me, and that's just amazing, you know, as far as I'm concerned, because phones have been the bugaboo of radio stations and radio people trying to do remotes on phones and phone lines. Go ahead.
You remember when they used to have that tone at beep? Every 30 seconds when they were on the telephone with somebody?
When I first started in radio.
There was a law they had to put that in or something.
Yeah, that was to let the party who was being called know that you were recording that.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do a phishing report every day at noon or something, and we called them, and we had that beeping and noise every 30 seconds. But that went away 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if they passed a new law or people just started doing it. I heard an interesting thing the other day. We were talking about merging XM and Sirius, and the guy asked the member of the FCC, said, you know, when the FCC makes a rule, is that a law? And he said, no. Only thing that has to happen is if three of the FCC board members say we don't need it anymore, it's gone. So I didn't realize that, you know.
I thought that's where the code went for hams.
That's where code went for hams. And you've been a ham how many years?
Oh, gosh. It's 50 years this year.
Really?
It was 1957 when I got my first ticket.
50 years this year?
50 years,
You've been a ham. And you were my age, 66?
Matter of fact, yeah, I'm 67.
I'm
almost a year ahead of you. Matter of fact, it was in... I believe I got my ticket in March. I believe this is, you know, right at the 50th anniversary.
So not only are we having you on Blind Handyman, I mean, blind like me, but you're celebrating your 50th year being ham. I mean, what a red letter day for you.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it, but it is.
Anyway, Max, you do lots of interesting things. I think your degree is... I've said many times your degree is in physics. It's not, is it?
No, it's in electrical engineering.
Electrical engineering.
With a minor in astronomy.
And that's kind of a weird thing for a blind guy to get a degree in astronomy.
Well, it's not any weirder than a blind doctor.
No, but there weren't any blind doctors when you got this astronomy.
That's true.
Degree.
I guess I was breaking new ground. I didn't really think much about it at the time. I just, you know, it was what I wanted to do, and I went out and did it.
But you do not see well enough to see the planets.
Well, I can see. If I can boost up the power on a telescope, I can see a planet through it and make out some detail. Not as much as a fully sighted person can, but some, yeah.
What did the professors at college say when you said, I want to do this?
Well, this was, when I did this minor in astronomy, I was already in graduate school. This was a minor for a master's degree. Oh. So I had already proven to a lot of people that I could do, you know. So I really didn't have to prove very much to my professors in graduate school. They'd already heard that I was coming. You know, they knew I was on the way, and also what I did was most of my courses were in radio astronomy, which you don't need to see to do. You just need to hear. You know, that helped. But I did take some optical astronomy courses. So,
well, you did that, and then you went and taught at this university there in Kentucky for 35 years. You were
33.
You were a professor there, and you taught. You were fully, obviously, after 10 years or so, fully tenured.
Right.
And taught all sighted students.
That's right, mostly. All sighted students. One of my lesser informed professors back in Florida asked me, he said, what are you going to do after you graduate? You going to teach blind people? And I was kind of taken aback by that question.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm going to go and teach sighted kids, you know.
Yeah, they think that blind people could only, that's all you could do, would be teach blind, you know, why would sighted kids listen to you? Well, obviously
yeah,
they did.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, yeah.
And so you did this 35 years, and then you retired.
And I retired.
And along the way, you taught yourself to play several instruments, and to your love of music manifested itself. And you have, I think you said, well, I have them all here. You have five CDs.
Five CDs that I've produced, all on my own, no professional help at all.
Just did them with your own mixer?
My own mixer and my own sequencer and keyboard and guitar and so forth. Yeah. Let me just point out one thing, though. I started guitar lessons when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And my mother and father and I were assuming that I would take on music as a career. My aptitude tests showed a strong aptitude toward music, but they also showed a strong aptitude toward electronics.
Uh-huh.
And the Florida Council for the Blind, which is, it's not called that anymore, but that was what the state agency was called.
Uh-huh.
It's not the consumer organization, it was the state agency. They said, they pushed me very strongly in the direction of the electrical engineering program, because uh-huh. they said, you know, music is not a highly reliable living.
Well, they were right.
You'd be more likely to put food on the table with an electrical engineering degree than a music degree.
And these
so
fellows knew wherewith they spoke.
I realize that now.
Yeah.
But I never gave up music as a hobby. I kept it all along.
Yeah.
And then well, in 1990, I had colon cancer.
Really?
And, you know, that's a kind of a brush with death. And something like that gets you to thinking. And you get to thinking, you know, you really don't want to die saying, oh, if only I had done thus and so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I had always wanted to try to write songs and sing them and, you know, and record them in some way and probably never become a star because of it, but just to do it. So that's what I did after 1990, after that colon cancer. I sat down one day and wrote a song.
And it was pretty terrible,
but I had help from my aunt, who was a English teacher. She was long retired. She's older than I. So she was an English teacher, and she wrote poetry in her spare time. And she said she helped me out. She told me what I was doing wrong and put me on the right track. And my songs got a lot better. She's now deceased, but she was a very nice lady. She was my favorite aunt. She always was my favorite aunt, even when I was little.
And she helped you with your music. And
she helped me with my lyric writing.
So since 1990, you've done these five CDs.
That's right.
I'll be darned. Well, I tell you, we're about 14 minutes in. Let's play a couple of songs. This first one we have queued up is about your, I can't remember.
500 channels?
No. I don't.
No?
I have 500 channels queued.
Yeah, I
and
thought you did.
And then the next one, I think, is the one about you on, is it about you on vacation?
Okay, yeah, that's not about me. That's just, after you write autobiographical songs when you first start, but then you move into to your imagination. And so that's strictly an imagination song, When the Cat's Away. So 500 Channels, whenever I get together with friends, and in this area who know me and know my songs, they always say, sing 500 Channels.
And that's what you did.
That's the one they always want to hear.
All right, well, let's play that, and then we'll follow it with the other one. We may not have the one queued, but anyway, a couple of songs by our guest on Blind Like Me. Here's Max Robinson.
My TV has 500 channels, a screen 31 feet in height. sound from 24 speakers. I channel surf all through the night. I'm the first on my block to get one. The cost is no object to me, 'cause more and bigger is better, and so I consume conspicuously. I've a car with 900 horsepower, 12 cylinders, 48 valves. It gets about 6 miles a gallon, but wow, can I pick up the gals. I'm the first on my block to get one. The cost is no object to me, 'cause more and bigger is better, and so I consume conspicuously. My house is one ongoing party, just like an old beach blanket show, full of young and beautiful people. Most of them I don't even know. I'm the first on my block to get one. The cost is no object to me, 'cause more and bigger is better, and so I consume conspicuously. I've an athletic-sized swimming pool, but in races I bring up the rear. No matter, I'm not a good swimmer, the Olympics will be here next year. I'm the first on my block to get one. The cost is no object to me, 'cause more and bigger is better, and so I consume conspicuously. Now, I bought a half mile of beachfront that can only be seen from my den. I opened the beach for nude swimming. Now I have a great many friends. I'm the first on my block to get one. The cost is no object to me, 'cause more and bigger is better, and so I consume conspicuously. My boss went on vacation a month ago. I came late and left early. He'll never know. My secretary asked me, "Are you out of your head?" As I left the office, I winked at her and said, "When the cat's away, the mice will play. When the tiger's in the mountains, the monkey is king. When the dogs are penned up, the possum has his day. When the eagle's on her nest, the lark will sing." My wife went to visit her mother for a while. I swung while she wasn't here to cramp my style. When she got back, the neighbor told her every detail. When I sang her this song, she blew up in a gale. When the cat's away, the mice will play. When the tiger's in the mountains, the monkey is king. When the dogs are penned up, the possum has his day. When the eagle's on her nest, the lark will sing. I went out of town and left my son alone. I thought 16 years old was nearly grown. When I came home, the house looked like a 60s hippie commune. I confronted the boy and he sang me this tune. When the cat's away, the mice will play. When the tiger's in the mountains, the monkey is king. When the dogs are penned up, the possum has his day. When the eagle's on her nest, the lark will sing.
When When the cat's away, the mice will play. And that's
sure
true.
Sure will.
They will.
Yeah.
So one of the things songwriters do, I do the same thing, and everybody does, you try to come up with expressions that people will recognize.
Yeah. Memorable.
Memorable.
Yeah, you want it to be memorable.
To have a kind of a hook. And everyone in the world has said, when the cat's away, and the mice will play. Or not young. Yeah. Young folks, I guess folks under 40 don't say that. But
I suppose they don't these days. Yeah. I wonder what they do say.
They say, like man, like wow.
Every third word.
It's like 80, and, like 7 years ago. You've heard that, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that to my granddaughter. It really makes her mad. Like, she, every other word she says is like. Yeah. Papa, can we, go swimming? When I make fun of her, she, she doesn't understand it.
She doesn't, think it's really, funny, huh?
She doesn't, think it's funny, but that's their way of talking. I guess we had ours. We were, everything was hip and happening, or everything. We had our own expressions.
Oh, sure we did, yeah.
I guess we shouldn't make fun of them. All right, yeah. You've done many, many things in your life. Other than that, you are a born tinkerer, would-be inventor or would-be, the good word? You're always looking for a different way or a better way to accomplish the same tasks. Am I correct?
My dad had a shop. He was a mechanic. I guess he was to mechanical things what I am to electronic things.
Uh-huh.
He could build things, he could have built a tractor from scratch, or a car, mm-hmm. if he really had wanted to. And he almost did sometimes during the Depression and then during the war, a lot of the farmers had trouble getting parts, getting their tractors or their cars fixed. And he would take an old tractor that everybody else had written off, and he would... make a part for it, turn the part on a lathe and put it back together and make it work. And I grew up, literally, in his shop. A lot of our sighted friends would see this little blind boy running around the shop and say, that's dangerous, you shouldn't let him do that,
Yeah.
My mom said, well, he never gets hurt, he knows the stuff is dangerous, he stays away from it. And I did. I had respect for machinery. I was not afraid of it, but I had respect for it. And so I grew up in the environment, in that kind of an environment. And it just,
Yeah.
And so I've decided to go for electronics rather than mechanical things, but still,
Same thing applies.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, I've never been to your house, but I would gather that if I were to come to your house, there would be, let me just put it this way. My father had... A big shelf full of what we used to call cigar boxes. His cigar boxes were all categorized. There would be resistors in one, capacitors in one. There were no transistors back then. But there would be, in one, there would be wood screws, and the other, there would be machine nuts. And I would guess that somewhere in your house there is a file or a collection like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, matter of fact, I'm sitting in a room. When we bought our house, we bought a 3-bedroom house, and I'm sitting in one of the bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken the doors off the closet, and the closet is my store. I've got all my parts are organized in there. I built shelves into the closet.
Mm-hmm.
It can never be used as a closet again. It's going to take some major ripping out. I feel sorry for the people who get this house after us. It's going to be a big job to restore it.
You'll be long gone.
I'll be long gone. It won't be my problem.
Yeah.
But, people come and see my room here, and they say, you got more stuff than Radio Shack.
And you do.
And I think I have now with them cutting back their parts. When I built your VU meter, the only parts I had to buy were the buzzer, the sounder, and the power supply. Everything else I had, I just went to my closet and got it out. And I've got it all organized, so I know where it is. It's a little more advanced than cigar boxes. I don't know if you've ever seen these. They are made out of cardboard, the little cardboard drawers that a lot of stores use them, especially the electronic stores. I remember seeing those. And they're on shelves, and I have them labeled, and I have them just all around the room. And so I have everything in there.
Yeah.
And the resistors are all in little tiny plastic drawers, one value in a drawer. So if I want a 10,000 ohm resistor, I just go to the 10,000 ohm drawer and pull it out, and that's I got it. You know.
Oh, you can see colors well enough to do that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I need magnification help frequently,
yeah.
But I have good. I've always had good color vision.
I didn't show you my. I have a couple of big plastic organizers with those little drawers full of all kinds of things. I really figured you would do a little more prowling.
I must have a dozen of them.
I think I've got three of the big ones, three of the big 32 drawer ones. And you can look through them, and everything is indifferent to all my my thing is to be able to connect anything to anything, to connect
right.
a stereo mini to a to whatever anything to two RCAs or to two RCA females or to 2/4 inches or just anything to anything.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's my big thing, and so I have cords, thousands of them. And so I'm really surprised that you had to go buy a wall wart to build this thing.
Well, I do have a box full of wall warts, but I looked through them and I couldn't find one that was the right voltage.
Yeah.
So I had to go buy one.
I've got a couple of boxes of those with all sorts of different ends on them. You know, I may throw the appliance away they went to, but I do not throw the wall wart away.
Yeah, right.
Because you never know, boy. You might. But people don't do that anymore. Now you can go buy parts, so we don't save rolls of foil. I don't save foil, but I do save rubber bands. I'm a rubber bandaholic. I've got thousands of them. I don't know why.
You never have to buy them.
Well, my mail person brings me two or three a day, and I can't. Do you still save cassettes?
I not anymore. I did for a long time because, you know, you get stuff on them, you know, like the Braille Forum and things like that. But
yeah.
I just had this huge box of cassettes, and I didn't have room to store it, and I just threw them out.
I gave it away the other day. My big box, the person that took it could barely lift it. It was so full of cassettes. There must have been 1,000 plus of cassettes.
But
all them, because I get magazines of all kinds. I get U.S. News and World Reports and Newsweek and Braille Monitor, Braille Forum, Reader's Digest, Magazine of the Month. You know, I get everything. And I just, those cassettes I saved, I used to even try to categorize them by length.
Oh, yeah.
Try to make, because...
So you'd know if you wanted a 45-minute cassette, you'd know where to find one.
Know pretty well where to find one.
Uh-huh.
All right. It's good to know someone else who does it. My father was that way, and I'm that way. We were born in that time period when you couldn't buy parts, and by God, you better save them or there weren't going to be any.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's see where we are. We're 28 minutes. We're almost to the half hour. Let's do another song, and I'm going to play the. I think this is the first one on the first disc. Maybe you can identify it.
All right, this
now,
is,
what is
it's,
that then
it's
is,
Greek to me.
It's Greek to me. Here's
that's.
Here's, go ahead.
Well, my mother used to always say that. I mean, whenever she didn't understand something, she would say, "It's Greek to me," and I had no idea where that came from, and neither did she, as a matter of fact, until I got into high school, and she was reading me Julius Caesar.
Uh-huh.
And that is said in there. Somebody, I've forgotten all the names of the people, but one of the guys says, you know, Caesar turned and spoke to him in Greek, and the other person says, "Well, what did he say?" And the first person says, "Well, I don't know. It was Greek to me." And my mother always said it had fallen from, you know, it had come from Shakespeare into the popular culture,
yes,
at least for her, and she said that. And so I decided one day to write a song about it, to write a song based on it, not about it. But
before we play it, let me mention one little expression to you. Did your mother or anyone around you ever say, "'Tain't funny, McGee"?
Yes. That came from Fibber McGee and Molly. Molly was always saying that.
That came from Fibber McGee and Molly, and no one in the world would understand that except old folks. You know, my mother would
like
say,
us.
You know, and I'd tell some lame joke as a kid, she'd say, "'Tain't funny, McGee."
Yeah.
So you might consider that for a song, sir. All right.
Okay.
Think about that. Let's do It's Greek to Me. Here's our guest, Max Robinson.
We have owned a VCR since 1987. Then I was put on second shift from 3 to 11. I could not miss my favorites, JAG and NYPD Blue. I read timed record instructions, but I don't have a clue. And now I see it's Greek to me. Sometimes I think I'm sinking in quicksand. Just check and see, and you'll agree. It is too deep to ever understand. Lost in a big city, I sure need an explanation of road map, streets, and signs. So I stopped at a gas station. The man gave me directions that would make an Einstein cry. I didn't understand them, and there was no use to try. It's Greek to me, I guarantee. It feels the same as sinking in quicksand. Just check and see, and you'll agree. It is too deep to ever understand. I tried to do my income tax, worked at it every night. It didn't matter how I tried, it wouldn't come out right. I read over the instructions and fought to work it out. I hit my head against the wall, and now there is no doubt. It's Greek to me, I guarantee. It is the same as sinking in quicksand. Just check and see, and you'll agree, it is too deep to ever understand. Oh yes, it is too deep for any mere mortal to ever understand. My boss went on vacation a month ago. I came late and left.
Wait a minute. We played that, didn't we, huh?
Yeah, you played that one already.
Yeah, we played that one already. Let me stop that. How do I stop? There we go. I stopped it. I got it. Stop.
Go on to the next track after It's Greek to Me.
It's Greek to Me. Right,
I Become the Night.
Let me see how to do that. Can it be done? Yeah, it can be, I think. That's Greek to Me. Now we want to go to the next one. All right, here we go.
If I become the night, the moon and planets can be yours. I'll give you a necklace made of stars. As music of the spheres play sweet overtures, you'll wear a gown of soft dark velvet and stardust in your hair. All of this to show I care. If I could be the night, if I become the night, you would never have cause to weep. My crickets can sing all fear away. As I love die with you in your sleep. I'm certain these things would be done if I could be the night. If you should ever leave, my winds would sigh for you. My stars would fall in sorrow, my clouds would cry for you. If I become the night, these are the wonders you will know. Show my love time after time, while your tender feelings for me grow. If I can't win your love in the light of day, say if there was a way that I could be the night.
That is Max Robinson, and If I Could Become the Night. Is that correct?
If I become the night.
The night, and that word isn't night like being knighted, that's the night.
That's the night as the other half of the day, yeah.
A little love and song.
A little love song, yeah.
Love song.
And do you know who Tim Cranmer was?
I do
did
not.
You hear him?
No,
oh,
sir.
Okay, well, he was a big technical person, electronics man.
Uh-huh.
He's deceased now, but I sang that... at a state NFB convention, and afterward he said to me, Max, you're an incurable romantic.
Well, are you?
Yeah, I am. I admit it.
I would imagine Sue doesn't mind that.
Oh, I don't think she does.
I wouldn't.
And there was another interesting story behind that song, because
right.
I had a lot of my music up on mp3.com.
Uh-huh.
Some of the listeners may remember that. It was completely free as far as posting your music or actually listening to music goes. They
uh-huh.
they did have I think they charged for downloads, and they sent a little bit of, you know, a pittance to the performers, but
uh-huh.
There was no gatekeeper. The songs that were popular were determined by the people, not by some playlist on some radio station.
Okay,
you know?
All right.
So, and there were ways to promote your songs. I spent maybe a couple of $300 promoting that song.
Uh-huh.
And it got up as high as 57 one week.
Yeah.
But... Which is just, you know, right on the edge of being a hit, but then
uh-huh.
it fell back, and that was it. So, but I like to tell people, you know, that song was almost a hit.
Almost. Well,
almost.
It came awful close.
Uh-huh.
But no. But as but, here's another expression: close but no cigar.
Close but no cigar.
Now there's another one you could. I've given you two.
I don't know where that one came from.
I don't know that you always say, these guys in Hollywood used to say that: close but no cigar.
Yeah.
You hear that in movies and things like that. So you try to write songs with hooks in them, but If I Become the Night, now I've never heard that. That's a kind of an original title.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think there was another song. There was a song, something about the night that kind of triggered the idea, but it wasn't If I Become the Night. It was
yeah.
something about this, if I'm in love with the night or something like that.
Yeah,
was the song that triggered the idea. I can't remember now the song. Anyway, it's not important.
You alluded a while ago to the fact that in the early 90s that you had colon cancer.
That's right.
And obviously that is gone.
I am a survivor. Uh-huh.
This is, you said, I think, 91, and that's 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It was 90. It was 1990.
So that makes it 17, almost 17 years
17
ago.
Years. Mm-hmm.
So that is gone.
That's cured.
Mm-hmm. Of that. What was that like? How did you first realize you had a problem? How does that manifest itself?
Well, for me, it manifested itself as pain in my lower intestines.
Okay.
Pains about, I think it was something like 3 hours after a meal, I would get pains in my guts.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the doctor, and at first he said, well, it's probably just a virus. Because that's what they always say when they don't know what you've got.
They say about everything. If they don't know what you have, they don't have any idea what you have.
And so he gave me something. And actually, what he gave me made it go away because it was a stool softener.
Okay.
And so the stuff could get by easily without irritating it. But then it came back as soon as the prescription ran out. So I went back to him. And he said, well, we'll send you in for one of those barium x-rays.
Okay. This is where they put the dye in you.
That's right.
Watch it go through you. It's no fun.
Uh-huh. No fun. And the x-ray showed that there was some kind of partial blockage.
Wow.
And so then they sent me in for a colonoscopy, I think I'm pronouncing it right.
I think you are, and I hate them. I've had one. They're terrible.
Okay. I've had a lot more than one because I had to have follow-up exams. Matter of fact, I'm due to get another one right now to make sure.
That it's gone.
Growing in there, yeah. Uh-huh. And so they said, yep, you got a cancer, all right. And it was right next to the liver. It had not contacted the liver. If it had, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now.
That's what is scary. I mean,
is scary.
Cancer of any kind, internal cancer of any kind, would just scare the bejesus out of anybody. You know.
Mm-hmm. And so he operated on me, took out about a foot and a half of my large intestine.
And away we go.
And took out some lymph nodes.
Yep. Everything's been cool since.
He said, if you get past 5 years without any recurrence, you're home free.
You're probably all right. Mm-hmm. This is not the nicest subject to talk about, but it happens to people, and it's something that we all have to deal with, and a lot of our listeners are older people like you and I.
Yeah.
And so if you start having pains in your lower belly 2 or 3 hours after you eat, you better go see somebody.
You better run straight to the doctor, and don't try to take something that's advertised on TV that says, oh, you don't have to go to the doctor, just take our, over-the-counter. Those commercials were running about that time, and I thought, my God, I wonder how many people they have killed with that commercial.
Probably so, and maybe those awful lawyers will get a hold of them like they did the tobacco people and stop
well,
them
the,
from...
Well, the commercial's off the air now. I haven't heard it in years. But it ran a lot during the 90s.
All right. Well, many interested, many faceted life. Is anything else you've done that is an interest of yours that you'd like to mention besides music and electronics? What else are interests of yours?
Oh, well, you know, I
Yes?
That's about it, I guess. I mean, you know, I follow the political situation, and
most
people do. Yeah, most people do that, and I actually when I was coming through the engineering curriculum, there was a course they had in engineering law. It was mostly dealing with contract law because that's the kind of thing that engineers run into.
Yeah.
And I really liked that course, and I didn't do it, but I almost went to law school. After
really?
I got my degree.
Instead of going to doing your postgraduate work as an engineer.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking of doing was going ahead to get the master's in EE, and then get a law degree.
Well,
but I didn't.
Practicing law, as I've learned since being married to a lawyer, is an entirely different thing than you think it is. It's not Perry Mason, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah. I knew even then it wasn't Perry Mason. But
it certainly isn't. It's much different. Most of what Luann does is helping some poor mother keep her children and keeping their husband from getting custody of the second television.
Just ignorant thing.
I mean, it's just all domestic stuff is so foolish.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I was aiming at being a high-powered patent lawyer, but... But I thought, I don't really think that's what I want to do.
Of course, one would not start out like that. You'd have to pay your dues and do some other things before.
Exactly. Yeah. You do have to pay your dues.
I don't think I asked you. I knew I did in the first interview. What is your URI problem, and how did it start? Have you been like this all your life?
I was born with cataracts, and what happened is really pretty murky because my mother really didn't have a good understanding of what went on. I have an eye condition called nystagmus, which is uncontrolled movement of the eye.
Uh-huh.
And she, all her life, called it astigmatism, which is something entirely different.
Yes.
And so she didn't really know a lot about what she was talking about, and she was convinced that the doctors who got a hold of me first were incompetent and messed me up. And Dad was convinced of that too. Whether they were or not, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
They took me down to Iowa City, which is the university hospital. I had three operations by the time I was a year and a half old.
Wow.
Had a process then called needling, which was supposed to clear up the lens. I had cataracts, which is a clouding of the lens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, when I was 5 years old, she took me up to a Dr. Wolf, who has made a bit of a reputation in the upper Midwest since then, or his sons have, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He operated on me, and he did the lens removal process. He removed my lenses and then fitted me with glasses, and at one time I had about 2400 in my best eye, which was my right eye.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember how clearly. I think I was around 11 or 12, sometime around there. I had a detached retina in that eye, in the best eye.
Okay.
Actually. So that dropped me down to 2,800. And that's where I've been ever since.
And that's where you are now. And
that's where I am. Uh-huh.
Probably slowly even losing some of that as you get older.
Well, probably as I get older. I used to be able to sit down and read a magazine or a book with my magnifying glasses, and I don't feel able to do that anymore. I get tired quicker, and I used to be able to read a computer screen, and I can still read it, but it's much more comfortable to let JAWS do it.
It is, yes.
So I have JAWS,
yeah.
Even though I can see, sometimes you get in a bind where JAWS won't do something or won't speak something, and I can always fall back on my magnifying glass when that happens.
Well, let me say it's great that you and I have embraced this technology that lots of folks our age don't.
I
don't know much, but I do know enough to use Skype now.
Yeah, well, the computer turned me from an illiterate person to a literate person.
Even though
I was college educated, I was functionally illiterate because I couldn't get my thoughts down on paper in any coherent way.
You can now write me a letter if you want
Now I can, yes,
Write your congressman a letter if you choose to and send it to his email address, which is something that a blind feller couldn't do 15 years ago, could he?
That's right.
All right, we're getting close to time. I don't know where we are. Let me just punch up here, maybe, and you can kind of tell us. Let's see, something should be happening. Have we We played that.
Yeah, you played that.
We played that, so we want to...
I'd like to sing...
We want to move past that.
Okay, let's go to... Let me see. Can you go to the other CD? I'd like to get on it.
I can.
At brokenhearts.com.
I can. Hang on just a second. Let me... I have to stop this, and then...
What's that? As I left okay,
right.
Go to track 8.
5, 6, 7, 8. Let's see if this is it.
That's it.
All right, let's play that then. All right.
One day last week when I came home, I found you had gone. I logged onto the internet and stayed up until dawn. It's lonely here without you, dear. I don't think I'll survive. Because you're not around me, I'll barely stay alive. Since you have left me all alone, I don't know Ram from Rom. You'll find me on the internet at brokenhearts.com. I can't imagine why you left, oh, what have I done wrong? We were so happy every day, I thought our love was strong. Now you've run away, my life is one fantastic mess. Send me an email message to my brand new web address. Since you have left me all alone, I don't know Ram from Rom. You'll find me on the internet at brokenhearts.com. Today I came home feeling like a man returned to jail. I turned on my computer and a voice said, "You've got mail." The message told me why you left. It made my spirits ebb. I left 'cause you stay up all night surfing on the web. Since you have left me all alone, I can't tell Ram from Rom. Look for me on the internet at brokenhearts.com.
Well, that's catchy. Brokenhearts.com. Let me bring this. Now, go ahead. What?
At Brokenhearts. The title, it's all run together like a web address, and it begins with the at sign on the you know, in the print title on the CD. So
at brokenhearts.com.
Brokenhearts.com. And so somebody, I put that up on MP3, and somebody saw that and went and registered the domain. So I don't have the domain. Somebody else has it. And they're hoping they were hoping the song would become a hit, and then they'd be able to hold me up for a big price to get it.
Yeah. Has anyone done a song yet about finding, I guess surely somebody's done a song about finding their true love on the internet by now?
I imagine so. Probably several people have. You know, I could do one, too. I mean, well, we witnessed it happen on our list, you know, with Dan Rossi and Teresa.
Well, I guess we did. How about Becky and Gail?
Becky and Gail, yeah. They
found each other on, I guess, through the list.
I guess Gail was on our list. They were on other lists together. But
yeah, anyway. maybe so, but they were on our list because he used to sign Gail the U.S. Mail on.
Gail the U.S. Mail, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see. What is this? Maybe not the next one. Let's see. What is that?
That's Broken Hearts again.
That's Broken Hearts again?
Yeah.
All right. If I could just learn how to run this
jump
stuff.
To the next one. Yeah.
I did. Let's going to play this one.
Stops the game
as we this is what now?
This is It's a Twister.
It's a Twister.
Rain stops the game as winds begin to raise. Lightning flashes, thunder cracks and rolls. Apprehension's written in each face. Lights go dark, some people lose control. The frightened children squeal. A lightning flash reveals it's a twister. Debris the size of cars flies through the air. 100 jet planes roar out of the sky. Some folks calmly kneel and say a prayer. The stinging wind puts tears in every eye. The bleachers groan and sway, then all is swept away. in the twister. Next morning when the news vans arrive, few people are alive to tell how they survive. The town looks like it was a battle site. Remains of lives are scattered on the grass. Survivors talk of hell on earth last night. They point out trees cut through by flying glass. Tornadoes can strike any town, large or small. So say your prayers each night and pray you never hear the call. It's a twister.
All right, Max, we're getting very close to time to go. Give me your address for your websites.
Okay. My music site is maxsmusicplace.com, and that's just, there's no apostrophe, and everything's lowercase and run together. Okay?
All right, maxsmusicplace.com,
yeah.
That's all there is to it.
That's all there is to it.
All right, your other one is what?
Okay, I have two others. I have funwithtubes.net. And that's all run together, of course, lowercase, and funwithtransistors.net.
All right, that's all together, funwithtubes.net and funwithtransistors. Now, your music is your music for sale on your Max's Music Place or not?
Yes, it is, and it's also for sale on an online store called CD Baby. And there are links from my site to CD Baby.
To CD Baby and Max's Music Place, all one word. That's your favorite. That's your baby that's for years.
That's the one I've had longest, yeah.
Max's Music Place. Well, sir, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Phil.
And our first use of Skype. I'll be in touch because I'm going to want to run some tests.
Okay,
and
anytime.
So this will be on this weekend, sir, and I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
All right.
Thanks, Max.
You want to hang on? You want me to stay on the line?
Yes, so hang on just a minute, all right?
All right, I will. All right.